off. Woo! It's a day for rejoicing.
For podcast listeners, we have a very special guest here, and it's such a special guest that all three of us just simultaneously, without any planning, all lifted our arms up like we were on a roller coaster about to go down like the steepest cliff. That's how good this podcast is going to be. So friends, if you are new to the Create Podcast, we welcome you. We are Natalie Roy and Kristen Hange. We're two best friends who love to talk about creativity and spirituality and living your dream and your purpose and having fun and feeling sexy and alive, because those are all fun things to talk about. And this podcast, Create, stands for Community Reclaiming Every Artist's True Expression. And the name of this podcast is Let's Play, because the best way we can reclaim our true expression is through that joy and that playfulness that so many of us get into adulthood and forget the importance of. So we are here to play with one of our favorite people today. Kristen first introduced me to this human being several years ago. She said, I go to the most amazing yoga studio on the Upper West Side. And at this point, I was like, well, I go take yoga at, I won't say where, but I'm like a very like fancy, expensive place, right? And Kristen was like, well, I'm sure they're all very lovely there too, but you have to come to this beautiful place I found. And I walked in and there was like this beautiful gold ceiling and orange walls and this beautiful space with this little outdoor garden. And I walked in and there was a man sitting there with a guitar on a yoga mat with an amazing accent. And as soon as he started speaking, I literally laid on my mat and was like, oh, Kristen Hange knows how to find all the good things in life, number one. And number two, I know that this person is also going to become a dear friend, because the wisdom, the integrity, the authenticity pouring out of this man's body stretched so far beyond just who he was as a yoga teacher. So without further ado, I would love to present to you podcast listeners our dearest friend and yoga teacher, Lucas Hall. Lucas is a yoga and meditation teacher at our favorite yoga studio, NY Loves Yoga, on the Upper West Side. And he's also a dabbling author and an all-around creativity junkie. And those are all things that we love.
I think we should also mention that he's super handsome and dreamy, dreamy blue eyes.
And Stop that he plays it. Guitar and sings to you when you're in Shavasana, just in case you were interested in that.
If that is something that you find stimulating at all.
Can you all imagine Kristen and I showing up on a Saturday morning at 9:30 to Lucas's class and causing such a ruckus? It's the most fun. So Lucas, welcome. We're so
happy
to have you.
Oh, what an introduction. I think I'm blushing a little bit. That's amazing. I mean, it's such a privilege to be here. You know, I've been started listening to you, you both, like a couple of months ago when I was in the gym, and I kind of was listening to music. I'm like, I need to listen to something inspirational while I'm here. I'm like, oh, that's right. Chris and Natalie have the podcast. I've got to listen to it. And I put it on and I saw the catalog. It was just like phenomenal. It's like scrolling. I'm like, oh my God, I've got so much to catch up on here. What is all this amazing content? And I started listening as I was running, and it was just, it was the conversation that I have in my brain all the time and I have on the mat all the time. And to hear it and to the infectious friendship that you both have is just like so yummy to listen to. So I started listening to it as I was working out, and it's part of my toolkit now. It's part of my wellness toolkit to kind of go down and listen and to be involved and to be on the treadmill or to be, you know, lifting some weights or whatever I'm doing. Just say, yes, exactly. It's so fun. So thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a true privilege.
And Lucas, from the very first time I stepped into your yoga class, I felt that place inside of you that is able to open and expand to hold a room and take a room on a spiritual journey. And I know that you have a background in performing as well. And that for you, the voice and you as a singer and as a teacher who speaks out loud, the voice has been part of your healing process and part of your spiritual journey. And I'd be really curious to hear just about your path and how you ended up here in America and how your spiritual journey unfolded.
Yeah, I actually was such a, I was so ashamed of my voice for many years as a kid, because, you know, I was kind of an effeminate young man, and I got a lot of teasing about my voice. So, and I think a lot of people that grow up gay, guys, there's an effeminate quality to the sound, and, you know, kids are mean and they just pick up on that. So I got a lot of strife about that as a kid. And so I used to be really ashamed of my voice and like used to not speak up. But I was always so introverted and contemplative. And I was always asking why as a kid. And I think the process of me going inward because of that and a bunch of other things that happened in my life with like my family caused me to ask pretty big questions when I was younger. As to why things happened, for instance, my mum left when I was like really, really little, and I never knew why, and it was never spoken about. So there was all this kind of stuff that was kind of secretive in my world. And it kind of forced me to ask, pretty big questions when I was a little kid, probably too big, to be honest. But it took me onto the journey of, this work of why do people do what they do, you know, what makes people, you know, choose to do these things in great things in their lives, and also, you know, make decisions that really impact people. So it forced me to kind of ask those questions, and as I grew up, they were always part of my world. I always was kind of perceived as deep. Because I was kind of quiet, and I would really hold space for people and listen, because I loved listening to people's stories, and I'd be able to hold space for people, my friends that are going through pretty big stuff or little stuff, whatever it was. I think it's because I had a background of this weight that was there, so I had some kind of perspective that was a little more than just, you'll be fine. Move on. So that being able to hold space and was kind of always a part of my world. Now me being able to speak out and actually speak my truth has been a process of unraveling. And I think going into performing actually gave me that opportunity to at least find a perspective, an opinion, and be able to speak it. The tools of in acting, as you know, you both know, and the work of performing, to do it really well, you have to go inward. You have to really commit to the moment. Like that's it, you know? And if you're not doing that, there is a part that doesn't feel right. There's a disconnect. And I loved it. And it gave me a home. And I left my small town when I was like 17 and went to acting school and moved in with my brother in the big city. And I was like so excited. And acting was my first kind of, I'd already written songs as like a way to kind of work through emotion. I'd pick up a guitar and I was kind of writing songs since I was about 13, little things that no one really listened to. But acting was like the way I got my that out in the world. You know, I could actually commit. I could be someone else for a moment, but find I had a depth to the work because I was kind of, I loved the process of going inward. And then as I went on and, you know, then I started sharing music a little more because I was like, okay, let me do this. And, people seemed to like the songs I was writing, and I'd always write songs that were much bigger than myself. They were always, they were about, not necessarily about me, but relationships and these very adult perspectives and scenes are almost like scenes from a movie. You know, I kind of pick a very specific moment and sing about that moment. And it was through music and acting kind of let me kind of explore this work And as I started getting work in that, when I left school, and I started doing dance as well, because, you know, you have to do it all if you want to. And this is Australia, so there's not a ton of work being produced, especially in the, like, early 2000s, right? So I had to learn to do it all. And I did to the best of my ability, you know, I did it to the best of my ability. And I started working as a dancer and singer and did cruise ships and theater and musical theater and every other job you have to do as a performer, right, to get by. And I remember my last show was actually in Japan, and half the cast was Japanese, the other half was from Australia or the UK and America. And one of my best friends, Mario, was like, you should be writing songs more, because he was like such a musician, a musical lover. And he's like, you need to be doing this. And at that point, I was like, I think there's a part of me that needs to stop doing shows, musical theater. I felt like there were so many more people that were really in love with it. And I was just kind of, I wasn't sure anymore, whether it was my passion. So I started doing more music and recording. And he was like, if you want to do this, you need to go to New York and like do it. I'm like, yeah, maybe, maybe. So when I got back into Sydney, my husband, who was then, you know, my partner, we were kind of at this point, we were like, he was kind of at the top of his place in radio in Sydney. And I was like, well, what's to lose? Like, what are we doing? Let's just go. And let's just see what happens. And so we sold everything we owned, which wasn't a ton, but it was a lot to us. And we just packed up and left, and we arrived in LA and we were there for a very short time. And then we landed in New York and subletted for a bit, and middle of winter. And it was like, you know, it's romantic. New York in winter is just like, it was like really stormy in 2008. So we've been here since 2008. And we just never went back. And it was very difficult, don't get me wrong. There was times where it was almost we left, because it's not easy to live in this country. You know, we had to go through the whole visa situation and that whole thing. And it wasn't until, because I'd done dance, I'd done a little bit of yoga, but it was more about getting my leg as high as I could possibly get it. There was no spiritual element to it at all. And I started working at the front desk at New York House Yoga in 2011, and started practicing, really practicing. There was a teacher called Everett Newell, he's in the Hatha tantric world. And I took his class and I came out and I was just, my eyes, I just felt like I was high. I felt like I was high from class. I was just like elated. I felt like I was so light and so connected though. At the same time, like I felt very in myself, in my body, but also connected to all things. Like one of those beautiful moments. And it was that, from that point on, where I was like, hang on a second, something is shifting here and something's calling me. There were certain practices that he did and meditations that we did that I was transported back to when I was a kid. And I would lay in bed and do these exercises that I know now as meditative exercises to get myself to sleep when I was a little boy. And when I was doing them in class, it was just like this self-remembrance. And I was just like, oh, that's right. I used to do this. This is me. Like, I feel so at home in this work. And that kind of just put me forward. The trajectory just like catapulted me into this world. And as soon as I did my teacher training in Bali with him and his wife, which was, yeah, so stunning. And even, you know, going deeper into the work. And that was it. Now, not to say it wasn't very difficult trying to change my brain a little bit away from the world of performing. Like, there was still a part of me that was like, no, I'm a performer, even though this is calling me to move forward. No, I'm a performer, this is calling me to move forward. And I kind of battled with that for a bit. And, you know, there's still part of me that I'm always going to be a performer. Like, I love music and I love acting and I love theater and I love being immersed in it and I love film. Because when it's real, it's real. And it's so beautiful to witness people in their art form. But the feeling that I get from teaching and the connection that I feel is the exact same connection, because it's all the same flow.
Yeah, that's
it's all the same state. And it's such a, excuse me, it's such a beautiful experience and very tangible to feel it, the energy kind of pulsing in the room, and to feel everyone going through their stuff, in all the, you know. So that's my kind of path so far, and who knows where it'll go.
Exactly.
I've kind of got an idea, but who knows?
I think something really powerful that you shared that is that our dharma, our purpose, is always unfolding. And more is always being revealed. And sometimes we can get really stuck in saying, but I think this identity is who I'm supposed to be. I think this is what I'm supposed to be on the world. And is it giving up my dream or settling? Or, you know, we don't allow the dream permission to continue to evolve and move. And what I recognize and see in the way you lead a yoga class is there's so much performance in it that the performer in you is still so alive and well, and that performer is having its own dance, and it's moving in this world, and then one day it'll say, and now I want to do this, and now I want to do this, but it's always alive, and it's part of our job to be in that non-attachment of saying, it doesn't mean I'm less of a, you know, I always tell actors, like, you're not only an actor if you're in an audition room acting. Like, that's part of who you're being with everything. You're bringing that essence and those qualities to everything that you do as a human being, to your relationships. Kristen brings who she is as a director and a creator and a writer to everything that she does. And so I love that you're saying, I just allowed that permission of allowing, of course I can still hold on to this and love this, but I can also allow another evolution in my life to happen and know that it's not trampling on any other
things.
I know there's room for all of it.
I wish that was taught in schools, performing and acting schools. I mean, you two are doing a spectacular job at informing the industry now, just saying you can have it. Or, you know, you're not just defined by this one thing that you love to do. Like, you can do many things, and there's, if you can find it in this, you can find it in many, you can find it in every area of your life. It's such a strange thing to grow up in, such a beautiful artistic world when you're training in this stuff. You know, and everyone's, it's about the art form, but there's no information about how to live outside of it when you're not doing it.
And that the two are connected. So I love looking back at your story, and it started with this little boy who experienced some challenges that caused him to go into his inner experience, which allowed you to hold space for others. And then being able to share from your wisdom got you into a place where you wanted them to communicate through performance and then through singing and through songs. So it was an evolution of sharing yourself. And as you tell your story, I just keep seeing, oh, and then you open to giving yourself this way, and then you open to giving yourself this way, and then you open to giving yourself this way, as if the universe is constantly giving us invitations of how to share something that is inside of us that is continually being unlocked And I think that thing happens that is magical, that when we start to erase the borders of this part of me goes in here and this part of me goes in here and this part of me goes in here, but allow each part of us to show up, then it's like a fuller, more multidimensional being is showing up, and then all those different areas, and they all start to inform each other in a really exciting and rich way.
Yeah. And I love the idea of that permission you said just a moment ago, Natalie, because it's you do have to give yourself permission to allow that unfolding. And it's brave work. It's brave work because it's not taught to do that. Quite the opposite is taught in not just the industry, right, but also the world. It's like you must be defined and pick your route and stick to it. So it's very brave to step outside and live spherically, you know, in many directions, but also in behold your truth. And it's a seesaw. You know, it's a balancing act that we're constantly flowing in and out of, and it takes a lot of brave work to keep coming back in and rechecking. And I feel like I don't know exactly where that quality in myself came from, to be able to keep coming back and checking in. And it hasn't been always as conscious decision as that. There's been many implosions and explosions, but it's there, and it's always been there. And I think it's thankfully because performing is such a you have to play, you know, and in that play state is like where the magic is, and where you're constantly reconnecting to innocence and spontaneity.
Yeah, and it feels like in a world that's so obsessed with achievement and completion and like getting the next thing finished and like now I can say I did this, it is a really brave thing to say, I'm always willing to be in an unfinished process of something new unfolding. Like I'm willing to not ever arrive anywhere, but just see where the ball's moving next. That does take tremendous bravery, but that's what living a creative life is, that you don't just make the painting you love and then retire from painting. It's like you always want to explore what that next painting is going to be. And I know that when Kristen and I travel, we love to look at the art that is made around the world. And most of what we see with so many artists is that even the mediums change, that you could see that an artist who starts in their 20s and an artist who ends in their 80s doesn't ever have this, like they start in one medium and they might end up in a totally different place, but they're still creating that. There's an inner muse that we talk about that's always speaking to you. And we have to be willing to surrender to being a creative being, as opposed to saying, I need it to look this way. I decided it's this thing, so now show me evidence of that thing and let me complete that thing. Because there's something about living in that way where even if you get there, you won't be satisfied.
Right. Yeah. One of my favorite teachers that I know you both reference is Abraham Hicks. And Esther and Abraham, that was a definite turning point, or just a trajectory of thought. And sorry if you hear that tapping, that's my little chihuahua in the background.
A green.
And the work of hearing people hearing the work from a real time perspective and getting her response from Abraham, you know, from source was like such a incredible, put me on a different route and a different type of trust in the work. It's been a beautiful thing to, and all that stuff is out there, you know, for everyone. It's so cool to witness.
Yeah. And, you know, it makes me think it's actually a rebellious act to listen to your heart or the spirit within when this world is telling you to invest in form. So when you live in a world that says what is important is your bank account or how big your house is or how impressive your life looks, to actually be willing to do that inner investigation of, ooh, what is my spirit communicating to me now? Where does it now want to go? And what happens if I put my value in following that conversation? It leads you to feeling so alive and so fulfilled, as opposed to chasing an outer form that when you have it, might you might get there and feel empty. And I know a lot of people who found their spiritual journey because they chased the material success first and got there, and then felt a despair or a hopelessness inside what felt like trappings.
Right.
There's a director. He actually directed, do you know, I think it was Evan Almighty, the one where Jim Carrey becomes God, right? That director had an incredible spiritual journey of being like one of the biggest Hollywood directors. And then all of a sudden was like, oh, this is not what makes me happy. I need to go within, and ended up giving up this like gigantic house to live in a trailer.
Like, wow, really?
Yeah, yeah. And so I just always think it's really interesting of bringing it, and we all have different ways that we want to express ourselves in the world. So our creation of our life can look like anything, right? And it can look like whatever lights us up. And I think just being brave enough to have the inner conversation, to go on the ride of where does my soul most want to go? What is the work my soul wants to do in the world? How does my soul want to express itself? What is on the other side of that is like,
yeah,
starts to blow our minds, and when magic starts to show up in our everyday life.
Yeah. I think the thing that stops us from living it in every day is this need for certainty in every moment, and to be right. And if we can all be prepared to be wrong at every turn and be surprised and wrong, it's just so much easier. I mean, it's not in the beginning, because it's tricky to get out of that. Again, it's not taught. You're allowed to be wrong or not know, or just not know, simply not know the answer.
It'll take us out of ego identification immediately.
Yeah.
You know, messing it up takes us right out of that ego.
Yeah, and to not know and be okay with that, and to still go, oh, actually, I'm still a really good person, even though I don't have the answer, or I got it all wrong, or I misread that situation completely, or whatever it is. It can be a tricky journey, but it's well worth it.
Yeah.
Because it's like every day gets to be a new experience.
Yeah.
It's the beginner's mindset in yoga, right?
That's right. It's like moving to a new country. It's like, here we go. I don't know. Mm. You know, let's see. Let's sell everything and try. Who knows?
Yes.
But I get to be the person who has that tail now. I get to be the person who lives that dream. And it doesn't matter what happens once you get here. You get to be the person who took that journey, you know? It's reminding me of Melody Beattie, who Kristen and I love. She had a quote in one of my books that I read this morning, and I put it on my Instagram because it was that good. She said, "It's time to open up to yourself, to your grandest dreams and aspirations, your real inclinations and desires, your wisdom and knowledge about what is true and what is real. Open up to who you are. Listen to yourself. Express yourself. Enjoy who you are, and you will find others enjoying you too."
Yummy.
Yummy.
It's the listening to yourself, right?
Yes. And the gift of yourself, like, oh my goodness, inside of me is this really exciting, really fun person. And I get to explore and find out who that is. I get to listen to this, like, being that has desires and who wants to go play with things. Like, that is the fun gift we get to unwrap.
Yeah. And listening, like, I think we can ask questions to the end of our lives. But being, again, brave enough to be still, to listen to the answer and also discern what's the truth. Because sometimes the thing that pops up in the mind is just like the habit of like, oh, no, you can't do that. That's not going to work. Or, you know, whatever it may be. It's like, what is really getting quiet enough to listen to that more intuitive part of your being? It's, yeah.
Well, Lucas, you are such a truth bearer for me, because I don't know how many times it has happened that I've been in your yoga class, just minding my own business, doing my class. And then all of a sudden I'm laying in Shavasana and the universe is talking to me, and it's talking to me so fast that as soon as that Shavasana is over, I'm going to get up and grab my phone and I'm going to look like the rude girl who can't be off of her phone for an hour. But it's just because I got so many truth downloads. Because my body, my spirit, you took me through a journey where all the resistance had melted away. I was present. I was listening. I was breathing into my body in a new way. There was so much prana flowing inside that then the listening was so easy. And so then I'm just like writing down all these things. And then I like the first thing I do is like, Kristen, wait till you hear what I got in yoga class today.
Oh, I love that. That warms my heart. That's the reason why we practice, you know, to get those downloads, yeah, to trust them, to trust that they're just not, oh, that's interesting, and then not do anything about it. It's like, oh, this is the real stuff. This is what brings me so much joy.
And what I love about yoga, and especially your class, is the space that is created, the interior space that is created, so then we can hear. Right? It's like creating that interior womb, that place of receiving, so that the downloads can come in. I always say it's like, you know, how a full water glass can't take any more water in it. When we're full up with anxiety or fear or running scenarios in our head, we can't hear what our deep intuition, with what our spirit is trying to reveal to us. So I have... one of the reasons that I love, like how Natalie, when you said like the prana flows, and it like, it's almost like it's washing us out. It's clearing out space. It's excavating. And I love that process.
MJ, my business partner, sorry, cut you off.
No, please.
MJ and I, my business partner, we spent, you know, the first few years working together, trying to create that womb-like, because it's a warm like energy at the studio, and trying to run the space from perspective of joy and fun. We try and have as much fun as we can through the lens of running a business. You know, there's like, okay, how can we balance this dynamic? So, and I think, yeah, as you said, it's there, and people say it's there, and I'm so happy that it resonates.
Yeah, you can't walk into that studio without feeling tremendously at home. It feels like you're at home, you're with your friends, but you know you're going to go on an amazing adventure. And one of the things you've been teaching a lot about in the last few classes of yours I've been taking, which is one of my favorite yoga words, ahimsa. And I would love for you to talk, Lucas, about what the meaning of that word is for you and how that shows up in your practice and your life.
Yeah. So it means nonviolence, and non-harming. And it can be seen as a way to show up in the world for, non-harming relationships, you know, not harming people, of course, and situations around you. But that all starts within, right? So if you have to turn that inward to be non-harming to yourself, not be observant of the way you speak to yourself, and really catching the moments where you're just your worst enemy, and you're almost like yelling at yourself, you know, putting yourself down. And catching those moments and seeing yourself, your state, as just as valid as your outward expression of nonviolence, like just being my internal climate of how I feel is so important to me that I'm going to be hold it with as much grace and as much love as I treat the people around me. And we all treat people around us much better than we treat ourselves. And I think I said this today in class, because it's easy to do it on the outside. It's not easy to do it inside. And no one's going to hold you accountable to that. Only your best buddies can tell if you're being hard on yourself. You know, they can, if you've got a good friend in your life, can point it out and go, maybe you need to lighten up a little here and maybe find some new perspective. But no one can see that. No one on the outside can see your pain for the most part. And so no one's going to pick you up on it. So you have to constantly do it to yourself and see it as just as important. So it's meditation, it's listening. How I do it in my practice is allow myself to not push my body. I like a very vigorous practice and work. I like to work, you know, I like to move my body, but I don't expect it to do anything than what it's doing in that moment or that day. And through meditation and yoga nidra is a very important practice of mine, which is, for those who don't know, I guess it's like a deeper expression of meditation. It's one where you actually relax the body so much and the mind so much that you hover just before deep sleep hypnagogic state, and that in that state you can sense yourself. You sense the lightest part and the source of your being. And so being kind enough to be gentle with my practice and subtler energies of the my life experience, of life experience itself. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I love that. I've been thinking with this practice a lot lately of ahimsa, kindness, non-harming with even my schedule. You know, it's not just about my words, but it's like, am I being congruent? Am I listening to my body? Because if my body says, no, I want to stop now, and I make it keep going, it's not kind to myself. And my body can't trust me to take care of it, you know? And I notice like when I fill up my schedule too big, when I spend too much time on my emails, it becomes not kind to myself at a certain point, right? And so I just have been thinking about that practice because you've been bringing it up a lot in class, and it's a practice that I love. And it's interesting to notice where it shows up in your life. Where does it show up in your art? Where are you trying to push yourself to get somewhere that maybe your body doesn't want to be right now just because you think you should, or you're trying to please an agent, or you're trying to, you know, do what you think you're supposed to do as opposed to what actually feels like it would be the loving and kind thing.
Yeah. I love that, it coming down to love. Like when I check into my soul, what is the pace that feels like love?
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, that's where we all got to end up, right? In the vibration of love. I mean, that's the epitome of this work. And we can intellectualize that, and we know this. It's like we understand the idea of, well, maybe not everybody, but we understand the idea that we are all love, but to feel it and to trust it and to work from that space, again, it takes bravery. You have to trust that this is the right way to practice or to move or to breathe or to act. And again, not easy, but that's why we love it, you know?
It makes me think of how like yoga is a practice just like showing up and loving yourself in the moment. And creating the condition of love for your soul is a practice, just like that internal listening to your spirit and what your spirit wants to create in the world is a practice. So all of these things can be held really lightly and gently when we think of them as practice or even play, right?
Yes. It's all just rehearsing. Yes. Just in rehearsal constantly.
So Lucas, if you could tell our listeners and our audience, what is, you know, we love to ask, like, what's the leading edge of growth right now? Like, what is the thing that's, you know, as kind of like a final insight into you and your practice and where you are in your life right now that you could share with our listeners who may be on their own journey in a connected way?
Yeah, I am at this moment, I am just starting to really trust my truth and be proud of my past in a way that that actually informs the future in a constructive way and doesn't inhibit the way I move through the world. Also, in saying that, and that's letting myself expand in many directions, not many directions, but creative, truthful directions, and play with art and play with writing is a big part of my world right now, and writing my story down, and which I've been starting to do from, as you know, songwriting was always part of my world, but expanding that into like a novel is a very beautiful and creative way that I've been letting myself move. And so my path has really been really owning the truth of my story and letting it become art, not just informing who I am, but now expressing it in a new art form, in a new medium that can be beautiful and that can present itself in a way that people can hopefully see themselves in and trust in and can enjoy it, you know, so it doesn't have to be a burden, but can be a source of joy for people.
Mm. Love that.
Beautiful.
And Lucas, if people want to come and find your dreamy yoga class, one of your soulful yoga nidra classes, how do they find you? How do people get a hold of you?
So my class, I am at New York Loves Yoga, NY Loves Yoga, nyloveyoga.com. It's on the Upper West Side, 83rd and Columbus in New York City. So just come along. Everything's online. Most of the classes I teach specifically are the Hatha Vinyasa classes and the Nidra Flow on Friday nights. But I'm all over the schedule. So they can check me out there. LucasLovesYoga.com also if they want to read more about me and stuff that I'm doing. That's where I'm at. I'm excited. I'm excited for people to come along. It's going to be fun.
I mean, no one will regret it. Kristen and I have been now going to the studio for years. And not only what you bring and what you and MJ have created, but the teachers that you have at the studio. You know, like I love me some Von Love.
Love.
There are so many incredible healers and teachers. There is incredible play and activation going on at that studio. And it's an amazing home. And you can feel the artistic spirit in it. You can feel the integrity in it. And we were just so honored to be able to share you with our audience because your story, who you have become in owning your truth and learning to trust and live by your truth, but also being so brave and vulnerable to share every step of the way where that is, not trying to get to some mountaintop and then say, now I'll talk about it. But really being so brave and vulnerable to say, I'm just in the process too. And that's the way you can hold space in a yoga class when we're all in a process and we're sweating and we're triggered. And you're like, yeah, I know what it's like to be in that process. And I'm here holding it with you. And so that's something special that we were excited to share about you and for our audience. So I hope that everyone comes and joins us for yoga. It could just be the most fun.
Come along. It'll be fun.
I do want to say, the very first time I walked into the studio, I said to myself, oh, this is what I've always wanted yoga to feel like.
Mm.
Because it was a spiritual process. So thank you for what you've created. It has been an incredible gift.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Lucas. For anyone who wants to come and find Lucas, it's nylovesyoga.com. Come and play with Kristen and I at the studio. They have amazing teacher trainings and retreats and classes, and they do so many yummy, juicy classes of all different varieties. So there really is something for everyone there, no matter what your practice is. So we hope that you go and check it out. And if you're not a member of our Facebook page, please come and join it. Create community. c.r.e.a.t.e. We would love to hang out with you. And also, if you have a podcast idea for us, share it, because we want a podcast on it.
And Natalie, we've gotten some podcast ideas. I can't wait to tell you about them. They're very exciting.
Exciting. Thank you, Lucas.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Much love to you, Lucas, and to everyone listening. We are with you on your path, and we are proud of you for the ways that you show up in brave and vulnerable ways on the planet.
Thank you so much for listening. We love to feel like we have friends all over the world in you who are committed to doing their dream on the planet.
And if you liked this podcast and you want to find out more about what we're doing or who we are, our pop-up classes, our online classes, you can check all of that out at thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to be part of our Facebook community, you can go to the Create Community page. That's C.R.E.A.T.
And if you loved this podcast, why not share it with a friend?